Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse with top personal brand coach and leadership presence guru, Rasheryl McCrary. Rasheryl teaches executives and entrepreneurs how to build their personal brands and increase their influence in ways that drive personal and organizational success. Now she's ready to help you. It's time to expand your brand. Here's Rasheryl McCrary.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse. I'm your host, Rasheryl McCrary, and I am the president of Dow Leadership Development. I am a certified leadership coach and a certified personal brand strategist, and over the past decade, I have coached over 1,000 leaders in Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and leading business schools, helping them discover, communicate, and leverage their authentic personal brand. Now, for those of you who are not quite familiar with personal branding, or maybe you think branding is this sort of weird packaging, gimmicky kind of thing, let me tell you exactly what I'm talking about when I say personal brand. So a personal brand, your personal brand, is your unique promise of value. It is your unique combination of skills, strengths, values, and creative abilities all rolled up into one. And personal branding is the process by which we unearth and cultivate your personal brand. Now, each week here on The Leader and the Muse, we discuss personal branding through the lens of my Brand You program, and that is Brand Y-O-U, which stands for Brand Your Own Uniqueness. And it's really designed to help leaders and entrepreneurs unearth their authentic it factor and really leverage that towards their success. Now, I was inspired to create this Brand You program by this quote by William Aruda, who's one of the godfathers of personal branding. And the quote says, "What makes you unique makes you successful." And I've certainly found that to be true in my own life, and many others have also found that when they land in the sweet spot of their uniqueness, that's where they enjoy great success. So in this Brand You program, there are four steps that I really use to help you jumpstart your brand. And I'll lay them out really quickly, and then we'll jump right into the interview. So the first step, and the most important, is called excavate. And that's where we really embark on a journey of self-reflection and using external assessment tools and some other sort of internal exercises to help you unearth your unique qualities. The second step of the journey is clarify, and that's where we sift through the data and really look at all of the stuff we've gathered to discover what are the unique and essential elements of your brand, your it factor. What is it that makes you you? Because when you're you, that's when you're at your most powerful self. The third stage of the phase, the third step, is elevate, and that's where we look at the actual skills and practices that you can do, that you can embrace, that you can embody to really elevate your brand. So that's where your leadership presence lives, your image, your environment. And the fourth and final step of the Brand You program is leverage, and that's where we look at low-impact, high-value actions that help you launch your brand out into the world in ways that really drive your success. So those are the four steps in the Brand You program, and on our show each week, we explore various aspects of this process with our guests. So on today's show, I am so thrilled to have our guest, Sarah Biggerstaff, who is a leadership coach and lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. And we are going to be talking about making great leaders, lessons from Yale School of Management. So let me tell you a little bit about Sarah before we welcome her to the show. As I said, Sarah is a leadership coach. She's also a lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. In this capacity, she helps MBA students unlock their potential and explore their personal identity as a leader. She believes there is no one-size-fits-all approach to leadership, and she works with students to help them explore and develop their own authentic style. Sarah has a trademark combination of humor, candor, and support that really helps leaders see new possibilities and take action as leverage for personal growth and organizational change. Now, Sarah's worked with some incredible clients. She has worked with leaders and coached leaders in organizations such as the Internal Revenue Service, the German Marshall Fund of the United States, Georgetown University, the Department of Defense, and Yahoo. And as a major in the U.S. Army Reserves, Sarah fully understands the challenges, demands, and exhilaration of leading. Her own journey from West Point cadet to Army veteran to consultant to coach and yogi is a lifelong practice in authentic leadership. Welcome to the show, Sarah Biggerstaff. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. And I love this last line of your bio, your journey from West Point cadet to Army veteran to consultant to coach to yogi. What a path. What a journey.
Yeah, that sort of sums it all up.
I love that. And actually, that really leads us into really the first question that I have for all of my guests. And that is, if you could share a little bit about how you have become Brand Sarah Biggerstaff. How did that happen? What's your journey been like?
Oh, that's a great question. Maybe I'll start with West Point. That seems like a good place to start, because it was a start of a journey in leadership for me, which has been such a huge part of my life. But deciding to attend West Point when I was a seasoned 17-year-old has really shaped and focused the rest of my life. And so I went to West Point and there started to explore theory and practice leadership in a way that I hadn't before, and that was really excited, and also started to realize that there were different unique things about me that I also wanted to fill. So I became an art philosophy and literature major at West Point, one of 30 in a class of 1,200. There were so few of us, we had to combine all three areas into one major.
Great.
But it kind of led me down this path of saying that there are parts of me that I really love to have filled up by this military side, and then also there are other areas that I want to keep exploring in my life as well. And so I started figuring out how to do that as a young cadet. I graduated from West Point in June of 2001, and then of course soon after that September 11th occurred, and that changed a lot of things. It changed a lot of things in our world, but it really changed a lot for me and how I saw my future, and how I saw the importance that I now saw on leadership. Whereas before, in theory, I knew how important it was, but now it became clear that this was going to have to be a huge part of my life. Mm. And so, to continue to follow that path, I went to Iraq in 2003 and spent the first year of the war I spent in Iraq, and was leading a platoon of about 30 soldiers in all kinds of different environments, and there were so many challenges and highs and lows, but it was a huge time of learning and growth for me, and it started to get me thinking about who I was as a leader, and I began to get this inclination that I was leading like I thought I should, as opposed to really being the leader that I am.
Mm.
And that was a wake up call for me. It was a real awakening for me, and so I started exploring different leadership in different ways. And so maybe during the week I was up at 6 a.m. running in formation with my soldiers and wearing a uniform. And on the weekend I'd fly to California and do a meditation retreat at Esalen.
I love it.
Yeah. I needed it. I really needed it. And so I found myself kind of going back to that place that I'd noticed in college, where I I was in a very strong culture, but also needed to fill myself up in different ways. So I began exploring leadership in ways that I hadn't traditionally, and meeting people of all different backgrounds, and going on these great trips and learning to meditate and practice yoga, and just learning from people who I didn't see in other parts of my life, and I think it really cracked open the world for me.
This is just so wonderful, and your background is so rich. I love the the juxtaposition of, you know, you're at war during the week and then you're at a meditation retreat, and the two extremes, or seeming extremes of that. So Sarah, a couple questions I have for you about your background. So one was, I mean, what drew you to West Point? As, I would imagine for a young woman, that's not, there aren't a lot of women there, that's not a sort of a natural, not necessarily a natural choice, but it's not a choice that most women, I think, would make. So what pulled you or really inspired you to want to go to West Point?
I think there were a lot of factors in play, and one of the main ones for me was I grew up in Kentucky, mm-hmm. And I really I wanted to see the world, mm-hmm. and I wanted to meet people from all over our country and all over other countries, and I knew that would be a way that I could really get to know the world by, you know, seeing it.
Right.
So there was a real draw there for me, and then also I'd been in West Point it's a leadership university, and I'd been. Mm-hmm. I'd always been interested in leadership and in leadership roles throughout junior high and high school, and I was just I wanted to learn more about myself in that way, and I felt like West Point was a good way to do that. And mm-hmm. I love a challenge.
Yeah.
Maybe some of it I'm a glutton for punishment. I like a challenge.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think that many what I really love is that you had the courage to pursue what you wanted, you know, and to pursue and jump into the challenge of West Point, and really jumping into leadership, probably at its highest level in some ways when you're in an organization that's really training military leaders. I mean, that's a very intense place to be a leader. So tell me a little bit about what you think. You have a lot of different strands to the brand of Sarah Biggerstaff. And so what do you think really differentiates you? And we have about 30 seconds before we go to break, and then we'll come back and re-up this conversation. But what do you think really sort of differentiates you from your peers? Every great brand has some big differentiator. What do you think that is for you?
I think for me, it's that because my life and career has been so connected to leading and leadership, mm-hmm. that when I'm working with a student or a client, I have real empathy, mm-hmm. and just to my core, for what they're going through, understanding where they're coming from, and those highs and the lows, the uncertainties and the challenges and excitement that comes from being a leader. So I think it's just really being able to connect in a very deep way and empathize with where they are in their journey.
Great. Good. So we have to take a break right now. This is Rasheryl McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And I am talking with Sarah Biggerstaff from the Leadership Development Program at Yale School of Management. We'll be right back after the break on Voice America Business Channel.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rasheryl McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rasheryl McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And today I am having the great pleasure of speaking with Sarah Biggerstaff. She is a leadership coach. She is also a lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. And we're talking about making great leaders, lessons from Yale School of Management. So Sarah, right before the break, you were sharing with us your journey from West Point, where you majored in, I think, art and literature or something like that.
Yeah.
And then leading a platoon of 30 soldiers in Iraq and doing meditation retreats when you could to sort of balance yourself out. And so you're walking us through this journey and talking about how all of these different seemingly sort of polar opposite aspects of your personality really allow you to have incredible empathy and connection with your students and your clients, because you've been in the trenches of leadership. So you want to tell us a little bit more about that, and then we'll focus on the Yale program.
Yeah, that sounds great, Rasheryl. When I think about this work that I do as a coach, or that we coaches do, there's so much of it that comes from being able to really be present and connect with our clients, and in my case, with my students. And when they come to me with leadership challenges and growth areas and real excitement about what's working for them as a leader, I feel lucky to be able to often put myself and go back to those times when I've been in those situations and continue to be in those situations as a leader, as a way to just connect and let them know that I'm really there with them. I'm there with them in that moment, and I'm there with them in spirit too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, another thing as you were talking that I think is really inspiring about your story and a real value, that you bring is the fact that you're a woman leader and leading in sort of a non-traditional way for a woman or a non-traditional environment for women still. And that you made the choice to be in that environment. I think that's incredibly, inspirational. Because I suspect, and I know certainly from my clients, that many times we can create reasons or put ourselves in containers and boxes, and society will sometimes do this, help us do this, and create reasons why we can't do certain things, or why, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this because no one else like me is doing it, or this is not, you know, meditation and being a major in the Army don't match, you know. And so I just really love that you seem to be willing to just step out and do the things that you're interested in and pursue what you're interested in, no matter how different those things may be. I think that's a real lesson for people listening, and particularly for women leaders. This episode is airing during Women's History Month, so I think it's incredibly inspirational, your background, and you bring great value to your clients.
Thank you, Rasheryl. It's wonderful to hear you say that. And I think there's something to that we often do put ourselves in those boxes of what we should do or what people will probably expect of us. And I think there's there's a real gift in sometimes being just blissfully ignorant of what we should do or intentionally ignoring what we should do and then actively doing what we want to do.
And I think you had a quote earlier that summed it up, I think, and probably it seems like you really lived by. And you said something like, you know, I was leading like I thought I should and not leading as the leader I am, you know. And so that brings me to the new leadership development program at Yale School of Management. So, you know, research has shown, there's this famous Warren Bennis quote, and a few other people have had a similar quote about great leaders being made, not born. And research has actually shown that to be true. And so, you know, with the idea that you can actually make great leaders, can you share with us this new leadership development program at Yale, sort of the new design and how that came about, and what was sort of the genesis or the impulse that is sort of behind this new program?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it because I just have so much passion for what we're doing here. There's always been a leadership development program at Yale, but in the last year, the dean, his name is Ted Snyder, he had one of his three primary aspirations is that Yale School of Management be the business school that is the best source of elevated leaders. Mm-hmm. And so he's put such emphasis on developing a leadership development program, and it's spread throughout the school in general. And so Tom Kolditz came on board to direct the program, and he was a chair of the leadership program at West Point for about 10 years and then joined here last summer. And his perspective is very much tied to the theory that you mentioned, that leadership isn't an inherent ability, that we have inherent tendencies, but that we can grow and develop leaders. And so he sort of took the charge from the dean to create this leadership development program and has actually made it part of the core curriculum of the business school. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really unique here for us. Of course, leadership is an important part of every business school, but our students have a core curriculum in the leadership development program, and that's something that's really unique for us. And so the way that we look at it from the school is it's you know, we have marketing, we have economics, we have finance, and we have leadership, and those are all part of our core here.
That's wonderful. So leadership and the developing of leaders has really ascended to the same level as marketing and some of the other sort of other functions of the MBA program.
Yes, every student has certain classes that they take in all of those areas, and so leadership is right there with the rest of them now.
Oh, that's great. So give our listeners an overview of the program, sort of how it's how it's structured, or just a taste of what the program is like in its current state.
The program is over a period of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year is when there are two core classes, a first fall semester and a spring semester core class around leadership, and it encompasses all sorts of areas like feedback, ethics, leadership in crisis, just many different areas. And at the end of this first year in their core classes, they write a leadership manifesto and a leadership development plan. And those two documents become the anchor for their development during the second semester.
Ah.
And so during the second semester, they work, every student will work individually with a leadership coach and be coached on their development plan and their manifesto, and be coached in a way to help them bring the plan into fruition during the year that they have left, and then also look forward into the next 5 and 10 years. And there's a component of well-being in that plan as well. So they work with a coach around how to actually achieve what they've put into their leadership development plan and their manifesto that came from that first year that they had in the core.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like there's this really organic approach and self-directed in some ways approach to the MBA students learning how to lead. Their components of them sort of being self generating in terms of developing a manifesto and designing a development plan, and then there's the element of them being coached and getting feedback. So it sounds like it's very experiential in some ways and less lecture and pedantic.
Absolutely. That's one of the fundamental pieces of our program. It's our model is different than a traditional classroom model. There's less prep before class, but we expect students to actively apply what they're learning after class, because what we know is that learning to lead comes from experience leading. And so instead of a lot of reading before and classroom discussion and then you go on and do reading for the next class, there's some prep for the class. There's a lot of experiential interactive things during the class, and then afterwards, then it's time to actually put into practice what you've been talking about in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, and one of the wonderful things about what you're describing, this new model, is it mirrors almost exactly what will happen for these leaders as they, you know, move into the workplace and they move up into certain levels of leadership and they have coaching, training, leadership development that happens at every stage of their growth, typically in good organizations, and it's absolutely expected that. The coaching or training is something that those leaders can actually apply at work.
Yeah.
Not something that you're talking. I mean, you and I both know from working with clients directly, they need to be able to apply those skills or some part of those skills almost immediately. Otherwise, we're just talking philosophy. It doesn't become practical. So it sounds like you are developing leaders on the front end who have a sense of that kind of experience, because it takes an investment from the leader, from your client or from the student. It takes an investment when you are actively involved in growing your leadership.
Absolutely. I mean, we're asking them to put skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We really are, and we're doing that in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that I'm most excited about is a partnership that we're forging with Knowles, the National Outdoor Leadership School. So in May, got 10 students that I'm taking on a leadership adventure. 10 days backpacking in the canyons of Utah where they're all actively leading the group, actively following and practicing all sorts of these leadership skills where it matters, where people are hungry and people are tired and all of those dynamics that come up in an organization will come up with real skin in the game.
Absolutely. And that sounds like an incredible project that you have coming up in the spring. And we need to take a break right now, but I'd love to come back and revisit the project, the partnering you'll be doing with Knowles. And also, I'd love to talk about three of the key elements that make up an effective leadership development program so our listeners can sort of begin to think about the critical skills they need to develop to lead, to be modern day leaders.
Absolutely.
Great. So we'll take a quick break. This is Rochelle McCrary. I'm your host of The Leader in the Muse, and we are talking with Sarah Biggerstaff. She is a leadership coach and lecturer in the lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. We will be right back after the break.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochero McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochero McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And today, I am speaking with Sarah Biggerstaff. She's an executive coach and a lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. And we're talking about making great leaders and some core lessons from Yale School of Management and their newly redesigned leadership development program. So right before the break, Sarah, you were talking about sort of the self-directed learning that is baked into this new leadership development program and incredibly effective with learners of all ages. And you were also talking about some experiential, very experiential learning that's a part of the program, the Knowles partnership. So you want to tell us really quickly about that, and then we'll jump into some core takeaways for the audience.
Yes, I'd love to, because I'm so excited about this trip. I'm taking 10 of the first year MBA students to the canyons in Utah, and we'll be partnering up with two Knowles faculty. And Knowles is known for doing these great leadership and outdoor trips, but we're upping the ante, and I'm going with them as a leadership coach. So They'll be actively leading the group. There are different roles that they'll play in this 10-day experience. And along the way, they'll have me there to coach them through the process, to coach them when they're leading, and to coach them as followers, just as an extra support and a way to help them get even more out of the experience. I mean, without a coach, it's a great experience, but I really think that with the addition of a coach, it's going to make their learning exponential.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and it really helps to. I mean, I think that as a coach, you are able to help them make the tie backs to, how they respond, in this exercise, and how that relates to how they respond and react and lead when they're in an actual corporate environment or work environment. So, and to have a coach provide that context and guidance and support is sounds really exciting.
Yes, I'm so excited about it, and I think they are too, especially since it's our inaugural trip. They're all so excited to be a part of the first round.
That's wonderful. And Sarah, will you be capturing this in some way, or through a blog or a diary, or at the Yale website? Will there be any way for us to sort of have a sense of what happened on the trip, or is that sort of inside knowledge?
No, absolutely. We're definitely going to highlight this here. We'll have it on our website, and probably and I'll definitely be doing some writing in some form about it. We definitely want people to know about this experience and share what we're doing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So we'll keep you posted, audience, on when you can find out more information about that wonderful trip they have coming up. So Sarah, let's talk about sort of some key elements, three key elements that really make up an effective leadership development program, and that really address the critical skills that emerging leaders need to develop. With the rise of globalism and this sort of shift away from hierarchy and more into teaming, there's a real core set of skills that 21st century leaders need more than ever before.
and some of your design features in the leadership development program at Yale really address that. So I thought we could talk about maybe three core principles and how someone listening might actually apply some of these concepts or ideas. So one of the principal design features I know is lasting development. So can you talk a little bit about what that means, what that looks like?
Absolutely. What that looks like for us is helping the students create an environment in themselves through increased self-awareness that allows them to take what they're learning here and continue on with it throughout their careers. They're these incredibly bright, talented, capable, competent students, and they're joining these wonderful organizations. And what we really want to do is set a foundation and lay a foundation here around how they look at leadership, opportunities for leadership, ways to practice leadership, that they can take with them and continue to grow in the years that come.
Great. And so it's this not only awareness, but this ongoing recognizing that leadership is an ongoing art. You know, it's an ongoing practice. It requires ongoing growth and development.
Absolutely. And what we like to say is that and even teach is how to seek out opportunities to lead that may not be apparent or obvious. And they're often, we have in our mind an organizational structure of line and block chart where there's the leader and then below that there are lower level leaders and below that there are lower level leaders and then there are the workers. And so we're trying to shift away from that, and because many of our organizations are shifting away from those structures and say, where in your life do you have opportunities to lead and where might you be leading and you don't even know it?
Mm-hmm.
And take that with you and know that because you can learn to lead, because it's not an innate gift, because you can learn and continue to practice it, to be aware of those places in your life once you leave Yale and go on to do whatever great things you're going to do, that there are still those areas that you can look for in your life to practice leadership and to lead.
Right. And you know, one of the interesting things is that, you know, I typically work with senior leaders in organizations, and you know, the really great ones also get the same thing that you're saying, that leadership is an ongoing developmental process. And the great leaders, successful leaders, are looking for, first of all, they view leadership holistically. So it's not this compartmentalized, you know, I lead here and then my personal brand's here and then my personal life is here, and then, you know, it's all of a piece. And you're leading as a parent, you're leading in your professional organizations, you're leading at work. I mean, you are the same person in these different environments. So looking at it a little more holistically is what I see really successful leaders doing. And continuing to develop and looking for even out of the box ways of developing. I mean, for instance, in your own background, you were, you know, an Army major and a meditator and a yogi, right? In my background, I'm a leadership coach, typically for very, very senior level, high tech individuals. And my background's in theater. I was a professional actress for years, and my degree is in theater, and yet I do this very different kind of work that's served by my theater background and helps me, lead in my way. But it doesn't appear to be something that's really related to what I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really wonderful point, and it. And I'll tie that back to why it's so important for us that students are able to tailor a leadership development plan to themselves. Because, you know, take you for example, with this amazing background that you have, if you can't tailor what you're doing to encompass all of those amazing, unique things about you, then other people aren't going to experience you in the way that you could be experienced, and you're not going to be able to share your gifts in leading in life without being able to encompass all of those. So I think that's a great point.
Absolutely. So I think if there were one takeaway from this sort of core element or design element in any leadership development program, I think it would be that, you know, really the leadership development not only is an ongoing practice, but it has to be rooted in something that's authentic. and your authentic interests and your authentic skills and rooted in that place as opposed to what I think I should be doing. Would you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good. So let's talk about another design feature that really addresses some 21st century challenges, and that is multicultural flexibility. So tell us a little bit about what that means, why that's important, and we have about a couple minutes before we go to break, so we have a little time to explore this.
Okay, great. For us at SOM, multicultural flexibility and cross-cultural leadership are so incredibly important. Our student body is comprised of about 32% international students, and many of our students, whether they're international or not, are going to work for international organizations, and so there's a real emphasis on focusing on cross-cultural leadership and understanding what cross-cultural leadership is, and then also doing what we can internally to help develop those skills and build those muscles. So, for example, one thing that we've been doing that I'm so excited about and we've got such a great response from is doing cross-cultural leadership panels where we take members of the class and they're doing they sit on panels in front of their classmates and share their experience with multicultural flexibility and cross-cultural leadership and give tips and advice and just really let people know what their experiences have been and what lessons they've learned. And so the thing that I love about this is that we're taking what we already have and we're looking at using these students in a different way. And I think, you know, when I think about the context of what an organization can do with this, whether it's around cultural diversity or gender diversity, you know, diversity in styles of communication or problem solving, there's so much richness among the members of our own organizations that we often don't tap into.
Right.
So I think there's really something here that we're doing that I'm going to continue to think about in other ways, because the students are learning from each other, we're learning from them, they're learning from us, and it takes nothing other than a few chairs and a little table and some time.
Right, and a conversation, right?
Absolutely.
A way to connect. Absolutely. And you know what I love about this is that you're baking this in the beginning, because again, you know, when I work with my clients and the work that I see many times, even, and I'm going to make a broad generalization here, in working with, say, boomer clients or in that range and in that generation, you know, that there, it seems to me that there are a lot of sort of diversity programs or affinity groups that are superimposed, you know, on the workplace versus having individuals sort of sit down and have conversations with each other or find ways to connect and interact to learn about each other. And so I love the idea that this is, again, a much more organic approach to just have a conversation across the table from somebody who is from a different culture and begin to learn and have true experiences that way versus some sort of overlay that's sort of mandated from somewhere else.
Yeah, we're having so much fun with it, and the response has been, it's been fantastic.
That's great. So good. You know, we have to actually go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about another essential ingredient of a great leadership development program. So this is Cheryl McCreary. I'm your host of The Leader in the Muse. I am speaking with Sarah Biggerstaff. She is at Yale School of Management, and we will be right back after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
Are you happy with the management and leadership style of your organization? Do you think it could use some improvement? No matter the level of leadership at your organization, you'll be sure to learn something new when you tune in to ADESIS Methodology for Collaborative Management for Exceptional Results with Dr. Ishak ADESIS. Through a unique lecture and interview format, we'll bring you ideas, questions, and answers that will help you run any organization, whether for-profit or not. Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochelle McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochelle McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And today we are talking about making great leaders, lessons from Yale School of Management. And I am so honored and so pleased to have my friend and colleague, Sarah Biggerstaff. She's an executive coach and lecturer in the practice of leadership at Yale School of Management. And we're having a great conversation about the core principles of a great leadership development program based on Yale's model and the critical skills that leaders of the 21st century really, really need. So right before the break, Sarah, we were talking about multicultural flexibility and how that's a critical piece that's baked into your leadership development program, the new one. And a third element that I think is really core, really critical, is this focus on feedback. So can you tell us about that, what that means and what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that is so fundamental to us, to the school, to continue to grow and develop a feedback culture at SOM. It's something that we all know is an incredibly valuable leadership skill, and it's also something that often misses the mark in organizations. And feedback is often a gap, being able to give it and receive it. And so what we're trying to do here is really arm our students with a lot of knowledge and awareness and practice around giving and receiving feedback. So the way we start this off is we teach a class on feedback. We get students familiar with some models for giving and receiving, and we talk to them about language around feedback. Very often we have an idea, or some people might have an idea, that feedback is when you're being told how you messed up. And we really want to shift that perspective, and so that people understand that there are lots of different kinds of feedback, and there's appreciative feedback, and it is feedback to tell people what they're doing well and what you appreciate and what you want them to continue doing, and then developmental feedback, where those areas for growth are. So we talk about models, we talk about how to give it and how to receive it, to start dismantling some of those assumptions that feedback is just what happens at your end-of-year review or when things aren't going well. So one thing that we've just started doing that I'm so excited about is called the Yale Feedback Challenge.
Ah,
and it
great.
sounds like an Olympic event, like the feedback decathlon.
Oh, that's great. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a 6-week program, and there is a daily requirement for feedback. So we have a little grid square for each day and what the feedback requirement is that day. And in the first week, the requirement is once each day to either give or receive appreciative feedback using a model that we share. We like to use the SBI model, so situation, behavior, and impact. And So that's the first week. And the second week, we amp it up a little bit, and there are a number of days where you give developmental feedback or receive developmental feedback in addition to appreciative feedback. And it grows and grows until at the end of 6 weeks, there are about 150 times to have given and received feedback. And so, as you can imagine, there's a lot of back and forth when a class of 250 people are all participating in a feedback challenge at the same time.
But what I love about this is that it's a practicum. You know, it's like they actually get the practice of giving and receiving feedback, and the practice of doing both allows for greater empathy when you're in the position of actually giving feedback. Right.
I think that's a wonderful point. It absolutely does, because you've been in those shoes. You've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is wonderful. I wish, can some of my clients go through this Yale feedback challenge? I mean, this is wonderful, because again, you know, fast forward 10, 15, 20 years into their careers, this is a huge, huge tool that leaders need to use in their day-to-day leading groups of people, and particularly when you are at the senior levels of leadership where, you know, you're not really doing the engineering work anymore. You're now leading huge teams of engineers and having to influence them and move them towards specific outcomes. The ability to give real-time feedback, to give feedback in a way that is, yes, rigorous and also balanced enough that you're the person receiving the feedback is still engaged, still inspired, still wants to, you know, doesn't want to throw in the towel. It's a real art.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a real art. This is wonderful. So let me ask you, what would you say to what one piece of or one practice or way to give feedback could you offer? Just a quick tidbit to the audience, and we just have a few minutes left. But for someone who's listening and maybe they're having a little bit of trouble with delivering feedback, what's one quick method you could share with listeners that they might be able to implement?
One model that I love is called Start, Stop, and Continue. And the way that it goes is that you share something that you want that you'd like the person to start doing to increase their effectiveness, something you'd like them to stop doing to increase their effectiveness, and something you want them to continue doing so that they continue to be effective. So I really love that, because it encompasses a lot of areas. It focuses on the positive. It has attention on the growth areas too, and it's tied to effectiveness. So it's not necessarily an opinion about something. It's here's what I think will increase effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And the name of the model again.
Start, stop, and continue.
Start, stop, and continue. Great. So that's a great takeaway, a great tip that anyone can use. You know, and you know, even if you're an entrepreneur and you don't have direct reports, try it at home with your teenager or with significant other when you're giving feedback. It gives you a chance to practice that. So wonderful. So Sarah, we're coming to the end of our segment, and I would love for listeners to know where they can reach out to you, or where they can learn more about Yale's Leadership Development Program and the MBA program. Where can they find you online or find the program?
They can find me on LinkedIn, my profile under Sarah Biggerstaff, and for finding more information about Yale's Leadership Development Program, can go to the Yale School of Management website. And we're in the process of building a new website. It's going to be pretty great. That's coming out in a couple of months. But for now, there's still a page up there that you can go to and read a little bit about what we're doing and see who we are. And I'd love for readers to check that page out.
Great, great. So you can find Sarah on LinkedIn if you want to reach out to her directly. And I will also try to have links on my site that will link them to you and to Yale if we can work that out. So, absolutely. So, Sarah, we have come to the end of our time together. We only have about 30 seconds. Are there any last words of wisdom you'd like to share with the audience around leadership development, critical skills that emerging leaders need in these modern times we live in?
Yeah, I think just that we have it in all of us, this mm-hmm. ability to lead and grow. And it's a little seed that's there, and with some water and some sunshine, it can grow. And no leader is going to look like any other. So to not compare yourself to anyone else's leadership style, but really give some honest thought about who you are as a leader, and be brave enough to be that person.
Absolutely, because that really is what it boils down to around your authentic personal brand, your authentic self, is to be who you are and lead as you are, not how you think you should be leading, right?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much, Sarah. And thank you, audience, for joining us. Again, this has been The Leader and the Muse. I am Cheryl McCreary, your host. You can always find me at www.tao-leadership.com. And I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you again for listening to The Leader and the Muse with Cheryl McCreary. Please join us again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. See you then.